come on up. Mike's our another speaker. And I first met Mike only quite recently, really, in the last couple of years. I've had the privilege of being on the advisory group for Cinnamon, the Cinnamon Network. And Mike works for them part-time and is very involved in some of that work with Matt Bird and others. So it's been great to meet him there and in other contexts as well. Mike's been involved for a long time in sort of just sowing into his community and bringing transformation. He's recently become a bishop within the Pentecostal Congress. So that's around the Birmingham area, which is where Mike's based. And there was a great photo of you this week, wasn't there, with David, the Bishop of Birmingham.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So all in purple. You look very smart.
Thank you.
It's a great photo. So it's so good to have you with us.
It's great to be here.
So can I just pray for you? That'd be really good. So, Father, thank you so much for Mike. Thank you, Lord, for the call and gift and just the relationship that he has with you as a son. Mm. And I pray this evening that the things that you've placed in his heart, the stuff that he's been praying into and feels that you've given to him, for us, Lord, that you would just bless him as he delivers that. And that together, Lord, we would have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you. Bless you. Thank you, Andy. And can I just start off by saying a huge thank you to Andy and the leadership team of Fresh Streams for inviting me. It's a great privilege. It's also a great privilege to speak alongside my friend and coach, Reverend Dr. Kate Coleman, and just completely inspired by her word to us this afternoon. A little bit about me. I'm born and brought up in the suburbs of London, Purley, London. Jamaican heritage. Parents came over in the post-war period. My father was a head teacher, and I kind of grew up there, kind of went to university in London, studied urban planning, so I'm an urban planner by professional background, 1993, 24 years ago, young, green, wet behind the ears, went into ministry in a place near Bradford called Keighley in West Yorkshire, served God for 10 years there, was National Youth Director of one of the mainline Pentecostal denominations, and just more and more just felt this call, this tug, this push to minister beyond the four walls of the church. In 1998, a few of us set up a charity called TLG, and for 10 years, between 2005 and actually last year, I was national director and national pioneer in alternative provision in partnership with local churches, which has been fantastic. Over the last sort of 4 years or so, I've been involved on leading on church engagement with the Cinnamon Network. We've got a team of 12 trainers who are training volunteers to run social action projects across the country effectively, and a team of 12 advisors throughout the UK doing the same, and I lead that team. And very recently was consecrated as a bishop, so I've got some responsibility for some pastors who are pastoring independent Pentecostal churches across the East and West Midlands, but also have special responsibility around social engagement. So it just feels like a really good fit. And it is nice to get to wear purple, but it's much nicer to actually just get to know some of the pastors who were pastoring great churches in the Midlands. I've been asked to speak, and just as I was asked to speak, I really felt the Lord just lead me around this whole area of place. And so tonight I want to speak briefly on living deeper in our place. I'm going to start off by reading a scripture. And so I'm reading from Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26 and from verse 16 to 22. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Move away from us. You have become too powerful for us." So Isaac moved away from there and camped near the valley of Gerar, where he settled. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. And he gave them the same names as his father had given them. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and says, "The water is ours." So he named the well Esk because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also. So he named it Sitna. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, "Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land. Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land." I believe that God wants to give us room in the places that he has called us to live deeply so that we will flourish in the land. For the last couple of years, I've been involved with a great conference called the New Parish Conference that happens in Birmingham, where I live, where God has called me to, and I'll say a little bit about how this guy from Purley ends up in Birmingham. But they say this: massive global shifts are opening up realities the world has never seen. Within this turbulent new era, reclaiming the art of faithful presence is more important than ever. And I definitely say amen to that. On one hand, we have globalization that has left people, indeed left whole nations, and perhaps our own nation of the United Kingdom, feeling a little bit like pawns on a chessboard, where you don't really know who's moving the pieces. I mean, almost as a response to that, we've had more recently this rise of popularism, anti-globalization, that has led to a self-interest that has left us othering people in a way that's creating a divisive society that can never really be at ease with itself. And the big question for the church is, what do we do in the midst of the environment that we find ourselves in the midst of the political discourse that we are immersed in right now? How do we as the church of Jesus Christ respond? And I believe it's important that we don't turn to the right or to the left, but rather we stay where we are and we dig deeper. We stay where we are and we dig deeper. As a 17-year-old, I remember going to a youth conference, and I remember as the bus, the coach that we were driving on, left London and came into Birmingham, and I remember going over the flyover, the Aston flyover, and down into the city centre. And all I can tell you is this, is that my heart was strangely warmed for the city. And I didn't know how I was going to get there or when I was going to get there, but there was this overwhelming sense. At that time, I'd only been a Christian for a couple of years, but there was this overwhelming sense that God would one day call me to that city. I went to university and came out and worked in London as an urban planner for 3 years and then got a call into ministry in 1993. And for 10 years, I kind of served in Keighley. It was a great 10 years of my life. And from small beginnings, we really began to see the church grow. And then at a personal level, it was also a fantastic time. We were 10 years, being nearly 10 years in a place, and we decided, right, we're just going to buy a dream home. And we bought this kind of beautiful mill conversion nestled in the valley near Haworth in Bronte country with a river running down the back garden. Life was just great. Got a phone call and just a sense that the church was saying, look, we think that we'd like to offer you a particular place to go to. And the place was Edinburgh. And of course, Edinburgh is an absolutely beautiful city. So you're living in this beautiful house. You've been called to this beautiful city. But there was this overwhelming sense in my heart. But actually, neither of these things were what God really wanted. And so actually what we did, we kind of sold up. And we headed for Birmingham, and it was just kind of like a crazy, crazy thing to do. I know what you're thinking, Edinburgh, why didn't you go to Edinburgh? Because God wasn't saying Edinburgh. Now, you know, Birmingham now is a city that is flourishing and growing, amazing place to shop, probably the best shopping place outside of London. But kind of 13 years ago, do you know what I mean? It was a long way kind of behind where it should have been. But that's where I felt God was calling us, and we took a pastoral role in a local church. And very quickly, we landed in a city, and there was the infamous shooting of a couple of girls who had got innocently caught in crossfire. And it was a real enough is enough moment for the city. And at that moment, I realized why God had called me to that place. And we set up the street pastors. I believe it was the second street pastors team to be set up in the UK. And I led that team for 5 years, from about 2004 to about 2009. And maybe I'll say a little bit about that a little bit later. But what I want to tell you and what I want you to grasp from my story is this sense that there is a mandate for place. There is a biblical mandate for place. Walter Brueggemann, who we know is a very well-respected theologian, speaks about kind of three phases of place in the Bible. Landlessness, exile, and then landedness. And whether we're talking about Joshua and Jericho or Nehemiah and Jerusalem, Jonah and Nineveh, Jesus and Nazareth, John the Divine and the New Jerusalem, place is really at the center of biblical narrative. But also socioeconomically in our lives as a nation, place has always been really important. We go to our towns and our cities and even our villages, and we see these huge, expansive Victorian housing schemes. Those houses have become very desirable. We had in the early 20th century the Garden City movement, the pre-war suburbia that I grew up in. Post-war concrete brutalism, city regeneration that's happened over the last 20, 30 years. And now the government is talking about these new garden villages, 14 of them, that they're hoping to create around the country. Place is really important to us. But it's important to us personally as well. We are essentially spatial beings. And what's really interesting is that, you know, even though where we might have lived when we were young has been knocked down, if we go back there, we can vividly remember moments where we played, moments perhaps where we splashed about in a puddle or played football. Those places are etched on our minds. I want to suggest to you that God has made us to live deeply in place. John chapter 1 and verse 14, the message says this, the word, Jesus became flesh. I love the translation. It said, and moved into the neighborhood. We want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We want to become flesh and blood. We want to move into our neighborhoods and live deeply and really make a difference. I want to suggest to you that as time goes on, place becomes more important than our church stream. It certainly became that for me. Place perhaps even becomes more important than some of the theological distinctives that we've held onto. I want to emphasize place tonight, theologically, in our hearts and minds. My good friend Ash Barker, who has recently moved from the slums of Bangkok, where he served for many, many years, and moved to Winston Green, to an area that became infamous as Benefit Street, unfortunately. He talks about three kinds of people. He talks about remainers, returners, and relocators. Remainers are people who have stayed in the place when new communities have moved in. They're people who have resisted the temptation to give in to gentrification. They're often people who can trace their roots back 3, 4, 5 generations. They can be indigenous white communities, but they can also be settled communities like West Indian, Indian, and West African and Irish communities as well. People who remain, people who have said, this is where I live, this is what I relate to, and I'm not going anywhere. I think God likes remainers best of all, especially when they've met Jesus. But there are also returners, people perhaps who have moved away, who were born in a place, have moved away for study, for work, and find themselves coming back. I believe Tim Hughes, who has recently planted St. Luke's Gas Street in Birmingham, which is a fantastic church, is an example of someone who is a returner. You know, his background was in Birmingham. His father pastored in Birmingham, and he's really come back. A really good friend of mine, I call him a friend now. He was in my youth group when I was pastoring, when I first got to Birmingham at Aston Christian Centre. A guy called Daniel Stone, from a Jamaican background, went to Oxford, lived in Handsworth, went to Oxford, studied, and could have probably got any job he wanted. But God called him back to Birmingham, and he is working out his call back in the city of Birmingham. An example of a returner. And then there are relocators, people who have chosen for whatever reason to move to a particular place because God have called them there. We know the Eden Network that came out of a message in Manchester and now planting Eden teams all over the country with people who are living incarnationally, intentionally in various locations, seeking to make a difference. And what I want to do just very briefly is just share some thoughts on my journey, and I hope they help you on your journey as you seek to live deeply in the place God has called you. The first thing I want to say is this, is that I believe it's really important that we listen to the cloud of witnesses that are around us when we're considering the call of God. And I understand, you know, many of you here are Baptists, not all, but many of you are here are Baptists. I come from a Pentecostal background where actually call was quite centralized. You know, you kind of got a phone call and you kind of went. But I want to say this, is that whatever the system is, we need to really take back control of where God is wanting to place us. And I know that's a tension that needs to be held. I understand that. I understand that this is a bit of an incendiary device and it's not particularly meant to be. But I want to say that there are places that God is laying on your heart and your institution isn't necessarily going to get you to that place. Sometimes you need to make a radical step of packing your bags and going a little bit like I did to Birmingham, not quite knowing what was ahead of me, but sensing that God was calling. End of that one. I'll leave that with you. The door that opens in the new place you go to may be your entrance, but may not be the place that you stay. Coming to Birmingham, I probably pastored for about 2.5 years, and then suddenly there was this sense that actually this call to the streets, this call to work alongside young people, both in Birmingham and in the wider nation, suddenly took over. But God wanted Birmingham to be the place that I was based from. And there are new opportunities when we come to a place that open up that we don't know about until we arrive. I believe there are some people here today and you've recently come to your town or to your village or to your city. And suddenly you're seeing doors that you didn't expect and you're wondering, now what do I do? Well, let me tell you this. If God had showed you those doors before you got there, you probably would have done a Jonah and run the other way, which is why he's showing you the doors now. Because actually, you've got time to consider and think and perhaps press in to what God might be saying. It wasn't until I arrived in Birmingham that suddenly the whole thing of young people and negative peer groups came to the surface, and I suddenly realized that I was there for such a time as this. And then, of course, we get into a city, and there's a lot of emphasis at the moment on being really parochial, being really local. But local is great. And global is not great. And being parochial is fantastic. And I absolutely get that. But I found in my time in my place is that I need to hold the local, the neighbourhood and the parochial with the strategic and the bigger perspective in tension. When I was a street pastor, we served in the kind of northern part of Birmingham, in Aston and Lascelles. And we would go out on a Friday night, and we just had tremendous time just meeting people in the city. And that was really local. And, you know, it was amazing. You go out, and you always came back full, because the kebab shops would give you kebabs, and it was just absolutely kind of crazy. But we really built trust with the community. But alongside that, I also got engaged in the community safety partnership. I was involved in Birmingham Reducing Gang Violence Group, which brought together the council and the police that were looking at some of the most chaotic young people involved in gangs in the city, and seeking to bring some wraparound services around them and seeking to help them to exit that lifestyle. So I held the kind of local and the parochial and the parish in tension with that strategic, bigger city perspective as well. And there are moments, I think, when God really wants us to step up to the plate and to be able to speak into the city. Maybe I'll say a little bit about that a bit later. But coming back to the scripture that I read in Genesis, one of the things I've realized about living in a place is we need to discover the historical blockages and re-dig the wells. As Andy was saying earlier, in October, I was consecrated as a Pentecostal bishop, actually in Manchester Cathedral. And one of the things I had to do as part of my preparation, particularly for ministry in the Midlands and particularly in Birmingham, is to do some research around the city. And it was quite interesting. This was stuff I actually was finding out a bit after I'd kind of done some of the work. But one of the interesting things I found out was that actually there were some huge gangs kind of in Birmingham in the 19th century. And then actually in Birmingham, there's this gun quarter. And Birmingham was one of the key makers of guns that went around the world. No wonder we had this problem, which, praise God, largely now has gone away, with gun crime for such a long time. But there are wells that will need to be redug. Another thing I discovered was is that Birmingham is a very much a nonconformist city, and that the nonconformist tradition has always had a disproportionate impact on the city and influence over the city than many other cities. And hence, actually, it's a place where various kind of renewals have taken place, including in the 20th century, Pentecostal renewal. And what's interesting is that some of the big conference centres, kind of like the ICC, are actually built on places where historically renewal and revival meetings have taken place and people have met Jesus. And so how do we unblock those wells? It was great earlier in the autumn that the World Prayer Centre gathered at the ICC, and there were probably about 3,000 people there praying that God would revive this nation again, redigging the wells that had perhaps been dug in the earlier part of the 20th century through Pentecostal renewal. We need to find those wells. We need to find the reasons why certain things are as they are, and to find their roots, and to perhaps pray into them, or speak into them, or begin to act intelligently on that stuff as well. The fifth thing I want to say is this: engage with your local unity movement and stick with it. I think it's really important that we recognize that Jesus' desire for his church is that we all might be one. John 17 and verse 21. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13 says this: until we all reach the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That is God's vision for his church. And in your town, in your village, in your city, that is worked out through a unity movement. And so I think it's really important, at least once a month, that we are gathering for prayer with other brothers and sisters and leaders across the city, because God seems to be doing something through bringing his church together. The second thing is this, is that when the council, when the police, when other statutory agencies want to work with the church, if they know there is a unity movement, then they know where to go to. And oftentimes the police and the council will say, well, when it comes to the church, we don't know who to talk to because they are divided. Oh, that we all might be one. Oh, that we would put aside those petty differences, that we would not be bothered about dominant personalities, and actually we would stick to the task of functioning and moving and representing Christ to the city, to the town, together as one. Then I want to say, be deliberate about engaging in the public sphere. In fact, in our churches, we have teachers, we have doctors, we have nurses, we have youth workers, we have social workers, we have business people, and every day they are engaging in the public square. And too often, as leaders of churches, sometimes we're more bothered about what that person is giving to the church in terms of involvement in various ministries and projects, rather than what God has given them to do 5 days a week as they go out to work from 9 to 5 each day. And we need to recognise that many of them have been salt and light in their place. How do we empower them so the church, not just gathered, but the church scattered too, has a positive influence on our villages, on our towns, and on our cities as well? But we also, as leaders, need to be ready to engage. I was really interested in Birmingham about 5 years ago. We recognised actually there was massive inequality, and there is in all the places that we live. And the staring, the glaring evidence was this, that if you were a man living in inner city Neatchalls in Birmingham, your life expectancy was 10 years less than a man from suburban Sutton Coldfield, only 5 or 6 miles away. And so we began to look at that and say, well, let's do something about it. And the bishop of the Anglican Bishop of Birmingham, Right Reverend David Urquhart, led a key line of inquiry looking at a number of different areas. And I led the piece around children and young people. And we brought people together. We had World Cafe days where we were consulting people. We met with people. We had various hearings. And we came up with 7 things that we felt were important for the city. It was around supporting families and children out of poverty, embracing the super diversity of the city, protecting the most vulnerable, connecting people and place together, creating a city that values children and young people, empowering people to shape their neighbourhood and address safety, isolation and loneliness. Now, that hasn't moved forward. It hasn't been fully embraced by the council as a whole. But what we have seen over the last few years is various bits of what we did coming out in various kind of policy moves in the city. And actually what we found is that subversively, some of that now is being played out in terms of policy direction. It involved the whole city, it involved people of all different faiths and of no faith at all. But actually, it was great that the church was very much at the forefront of leading that process. And people still refer to the report that we were able to produce. So we need to be ready to step up and to actually engage our city. And so I want to really just perhaps finish there and encourage you in your city to stay long, to live deep with a wide embrace and a higher love. Stay long, live deep with a wide embrace and a higher love. Let me read to you from Ephesians chapter 3. Apostle Paul says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father and from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all God's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ." God wants us to grasp that for the places, that he has called us to. Finally, a quote from a tweet that I kind of follow called Slow Church, and they say this: we need practices that reorientate our desires to our places. Reorientation towards place is nothing less than a spiritual discipline. If we can go away with one thing tonight, it's this. Just as we take the discipline of prayer seriously, the discipline of Bible study seriously, the discipline of perhaps fasting or solitude seriously, can I add to the list the discipline of place? And can I ask you to live deeper, to put down deep roots where you live? And as you do that, may the Lord give you room so you may flourish in the land. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Perhaps we can just stand. Just stand in the presence of the Lord. And I was just praying, have been praying for the last week as I've been just preparing to speak to you all here this evening. What a privilege. And I just feel that there are some people here, and you've been living in the place that you've been living, but God is really challenging you to put down deeper roots. It's not that he's saying for you to move on or to go somewhere else. It's just that he wants you to live deeper. And he wants you to love that place in a way that you've never loved it before. I think perhaps there's some people here who you're there and you're serving, but perhaps you haven't got that love, that deep love for the place that Christ wants you to have. And God wants to minister that higher love and to give you that wide embrace so that you will embrace your town and your village and your city for him. I think there are others here who've been serving in places for long periods of time, and there are spiritual blockages in those places, and God wants to unblock those wells, and you need to revisit those things and actually redig those wells again. There is some stuff that isn't going to move because it's spiritually linked. And actually, you've got to go back, you've got to find out those roots, you've got to pray into those things, and you've got to unblock those wells so that the land will begin to flourish and bring forth fruit. And I think there's other people here who are just tired and weary. Perhaps God is saying, well, you might be tired and weary, but I haven't finished with you yet, and I want to strengthen you. And finally, there may be people who are feeling a sense of call to somewhere else, and you don't know how that's going to happen. Perhaps you just want to just come forward and allow someone to pray with you and stand with you as you seek the will of God for your life moving forward. I just want to give a moment for people to respond to any of that stuff. And I'm just going to ask the worship group who have been such a blessing to us just to come and just to pray as God's Spirit leads them. But I just want us to now begin to respond to God. Come, come, Holy Spirit.